this bill is left intact for all intents and purposes, based on the fact that it was a tax. I think this is bad for our liberties. It's terrible for our economy, terrible for our debt and our deficit. And, you know, we just have to roll up our sleeves and do it the old-fashioned way and just somehow figure out a way to repeal it legislatively.
Well, one thing that the court did do, Congressman Andy Harris, and that is, and not just the conservative members of the court, but they were joined by Stephen Breyer and Elena Kagan voting with them. They said, look, U.S. government, you cannot force states to expand their Medicaid rolls under the threat of withholding Medicaid money. So they took that teeth out of them threatening the states with that.
That's right. That's probably the only silver lining in the cloud was that for once they said, you know, the federal government has to stop doing this, put federal mandates on the states and then threaten to withhold funds or, you know, from entire programs if you don't do this. So that's probably the only silver lining. But, you know, the problem is that this bill is a job killer. I just met with a businessman yesterday who just said he's not hiring until, the president's health care bill is repealed.
Well, just 6 months ago, Congressman, I was talking about this with someone else on air, that the small businesses came out and said that if this were to go intact as it is now, 50% of the businesses, 50 employees and over, who will be affected by this now, will be dropping their employees and they'll go into health exchanges. I mean, it was just right there, 50% of them.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the businessmen and women tell me that they're just going into a hunker down mode. Look, we saw what happened to the market when this decision was announced. This is a terrible decision for American businesses and job creation. It's a terrible decision for American liberties. And again, look, I'm sure there's some lawyerly justification to call this a tax. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a doctor. I don't understand it. When the government comes in and says this is not a tax, and the Supreme Court to uphold the bill says, well, yeah, but we know you said it wasn't a tax, but it is a tax, and that's how we're upholding it. So I don't get it. I think they just made a mistake on this one.
Well, Doctor, I want to talk to Dr. Harris now, okay, instead of Congressman Harris. One of the problems we all know is primary care physicians are short. According to the Association of American Medical Colleges, they estimate the U.S. is going to have a shortage of about 21,000 primary care physicians in 2015. Now, this law apparently provides $250 million in new funding to support training for primary care physicians, but they're not going into primary care, Dr. Harris?
Absolutely. You know, that's the whole thing about this is, you know, this is not a problem you throw money at. It comes through sound health policy that you actually attract people to primary care. It's not just by throwing money at an issue and saying you're going to train more. But you're right. Physicians don't want to go into primary care because they realize under government-mandated medicine that you can't really make a living that covers the cost of what you've invested in your business, what you've spent the years, you know, the 6 to 10 years after college that you've spent getting trained. You can't make that up when the government at each and every turn restricts how you can practice medicine and how you're going to be paid for it. So it won't solve the problem. I know that was in there. I know there was an attempt to promote primary care. The fact of the matter is, on the ground, since the bill has been passed, it's been more difficult, not less difficult, to find a primary care provider.
Well, Congressman, you now are on board with Mitt Romney, correct, as a supporter?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Now that you're on board, Mitt Romney's going to be speaking in about 5 minutes or so. What do you think Mitt Romney, his reaction should be and how things should move forward?
I think his reaction has to be what it's been, which is to say the federal government has no business mandating health care coverage. The individual mandate was not the federal government's business. Even as a tax, I don't believe it's the federal government's business. Again, I think the court got this wrong. What he's going to say is that, yes, we need health care reform that decreases the price, increases access, preserves liberties. On all those three points, the president's bill does none of them. And again, we have the proof. The proof is cost has gone up, access has gone down, and we know that individual liberties suffer under this bill.
Well, one of the things we talked about the anger that really got this underway at the town hall forums after Obamacare was initiated and the whole discussion, people were energized. It produced a 2010 Congress that now you're a part of and the biggest turnaround since 1938. Do you think this decision will motivate people to turn out to the polls like they did in 2010 for this coming November?
Oh, absolutely. I think people realize just how closely divided this Supreme Court is. They know that the only way to get this bill overturned is in the ballot box this November. You know, as we say, the Supreme Court had its say on the last Thursday in June. the American people have their say on the first Tuesday in November. And I think they're going to send a clear message that we need a president who will appoint justices who will look at laws like this as encroachments on constitutional liberties that are just not tolerable in a free country like the United States. It actually increases look, I think this is a terrible decision for President Obama, to be honest with you. This bill was already unpopular, and now the Supreme Court has just said, well, the only reason why it's legal is because it's actually a tax.
It's a tax.
Right. It's a tax. By the way, it's a tax.